Imagine you're a beach cleaner, tasked with tidying up after a big party the night before. The beach is littered with cans, plastic bags, snack wrappers, and there's a foul odor in the air. You suspect it might be a dead animal hidden among the trash, but it turns out to be something far more horrifying, a mutilated human body. This was the grim reality faced by four local beach cleaners of Koh Phangan Island. Understandably shocked, they quickly notified the police. The scene was gruesome. Not just one bag, but several, each containing different mutilated body parts. The most chilling discovery, however, was the head, raising urgent questions. Who was this man? What could possibly drive someone to commit such a brutal act? This was the beginning of the investigation into the Daniel Sancho case, a recent and shocking incident that occurred in Thailand. Let's explore this case further to understand what happened and who could have been responsible for such a heinous crime. On August 3rd, 2023, a shocking discovery was made on Koh Phangan Island when a garbage collector found a severed pelvis and human intestines concealed in a fertilizer bag. The gruesome find occurred around 12:30 p.m. at a landfill, marking a grim turn in the unfolding events. The Bangkok Post reported on this discovery the same day, providing crucial details from the police forensics examiners. Their initial assessment estimated that the murder had likely occurred at least 24 hours prior to the discovery of the body parts. Furthermore, the size of the remains led them to conclude that they belonged to a foreigner. The body found on the beach was identified as 44-year-old Edwin Arrieta Arteaga, a Colombian-born plastic surgery doctor who had traveled to Thailand, presumably for a vacation. Intriguingly, he was not alone on this trip, but was accompanied by someone named Daniel Sancho Brunchalo. How did a vacation turn into such a horrific scene? Edwin was born in 1979 in Colombia, coming from a modest background. His parents, a teacher and a mechanic, were well-respected in their community. Showing great enthusiasm and intelligence, Edwin pursued a career in medicine, eventually specializing in cosmetic surgery. Edwin's professional journey was impressive. Over 10 years, he worked his way up, earning respect in his field and aiming to join the Colombian Society of Aesthetic and Reconstructive Plastic Surgery. His skills won him a good reputation among clients, and he was well-regarded in his profession. He also built a significant online presence with 35,000 followers across his business and personal social media accounts. 29-year-old Daniel Sancho Brunchalo, in contrast, was born into a world of fame and wealth. His parents, actress Silvia Brunchalo and actor Rodolfo Sancho, were well-known celebrities in Spain. Despite his appearance and family background, which might have led many to expect a career in acting, Daniel chose a different path. He devoted his life to the culinary arts, distinguishing himself from his famous family in his own unique way. Daniel's culinary aspirations were well supported by his family, and he achieved notable success as an executive chef at La Boheme, one of the top catering businesses. His ambition didn't stop there. He aimed to establish his own identity in the culinary world by opening a restaurant in Madrid. Specializing in burgers, he also ventured into YouTube to share his cooking. The relationship between Edwin and Daniel was complex. While many sources initially suggested they were lovers, this narrative later evolved, revealing a different reality. They connected through Instagram, with Edwin first showing interest in Daniel. Their online interactions blossomed into a friendship that seemed to take a serious turn. Edwin was deeply invested in this relationship. He reportedly sent substantial amounts of money to Daniel, and even provided him with a credit card containing $10,000 to support his business ventures. Edwin had dreams of establishing a cosmetic clinic in Barcelona and Madrid, hoping to live closer to Daniel in a committed relationship. However, Daniel's perspective on their relationship differed significantly. He viewed their connection as purely professional, believing Edwin's financial support was intended to help him start a business. Daniel maintained that he was heterosexual, in a relationship with a Spanish woman named Laura, and saw no romantic future with Edwin. But it is known that they exchanged explicit photos. This mismatch in expectations and understanding, highlighted by the exchange of explicit photos, added complexity to their interaction. The story takes a darker turn with their decision to meet in person for the first time in Thailand, on the picturesque island of Koh Phangan. Known for its beauty and tourist appeal, it seemed like an ideal location for relaxation and enjoyment. But this setting would soon become the backdrop for a sinister murder, contrasting sharply with the island's usual atmosphere of tranquility and joy. Edwin had booked a hotel from July 31st to August 3rd, but Sancho arrived on the island before the Colombian, although it has not been revealed precisely when. Daniel picked Edwin up from the airport on his motorcycle and took him to the hotel. From the outside, it looked like they were enjoying their time together, riding under the sun, but this seemingly normal scene is tinged with an eerie sense of what was about to unfold. Although Sancho was staying in the room booked by Edwin, he had another hotel reservation for August 1st and August 2nd near Salat Beach, the police confirmed to the Bangkok Post. On August 1st, the two had dinner at a restaurant near this second hotel. On the evening of the same day, Sancho was caught on security cameras buying knives, rubber gloves, garbage bags, and cleaning utensils at a store, according to the same source. Back home, Edwin's family started to feel uneasy as they hadn't received any texts or calls from him since his arrival in Thailand. Perhaps driven by instinct or concern for a loved one, they suspected something was amiss. Fortunately, they were aware of Edwin's plans with Daniel and reached out to him for information. Daniel, however, acted as though he was unaware of any issues. On August 3rd, the day the hotel reservation ended, Daniel left and reported Edwin's disappearance to the police. This move could have been a response to the discovery of the body, possibly an attempt to avert suspicion. But the police became suspicious of Daniel, particularly after noticing several cuts and scrapes from his body. Given that Edwin had traveled to meet Daniel and was now found murdered in a gruesome manner, the connection was hard to ignore. Thai authorities decided to detain Daniel, given the circumstantial evidence against him and their suspicions. They immediately commenced an investigation, starting with the hotel where the two had stayed. Surprisingly, the initial inspection revealed that the hotel was impeccably clean. Every area, including the living room, kitchen, bedroom, and bathroom, appeared spotless, which only added to the mystery of the situation. The hotel's impeccable state initially suggested there was no evidence of a fight or assault. However, the investigation took a significant turn when the police made a disturbing discovery. In the bathroom drain, they found what seemed to be human hair and tissue, potentially from a human body. This evidence was crucial in the decision to arrest Daniel on suspicion of murdering Edwin. During questioning, Daniel's account varied. Initially, he denied any involvement in the murder. But then on August 5th, he confessed to killing Edwin, citing jealousy and fear of being tricked as his motives. The following day, he slightly changed his story, suggesting he felt like a hostage and hadn't intended to kill Edwin initially. Daniel's confession and his statements painted a complex picture of the case. He claimed, "I'm guilty, but I was Edwin's hostage. He held me hostage. It was a glass cage, but it was a cage. He made me destroy the relationship with my girlfriend. He has forced me to do things that he would never have done." The nature of Edwin and Daniel's relationship was evidently troubled. While Edwin perceived it as romantic, Daniel described it as more transactional, something similar to a sugar daddy arrangement. Daniel expressed a desire to end their relationship, but Edwin allegedly responded with threats of leaking explicit images and causing harm. This might have led Daniel to believe that murdering Edwin was the only way out of the situation. Supporting evidence for Daniel's claims was found in Edwin's phone, which contained threatening messages sent to Daniel. This corroborated the assertion that Edwin was obsessively fixated on Daniel. Furthermore, the phone contained death threats from the victim. This is Daniel's side of the story. On that fateful night, the vacation between Edwin and Daniel initially started off well. But Daniel had a different agenda. He planned to end their relationship during his face-to-face meeting. Edwin, on the other hand, was eager for the encounter and soon began making physical advances towards Daniel, which were repeatedly rejected. In the hotel, when Daniel finally expressed his desire to end things, Edwin reacted badly. The argument escalated from verbal to physical. Daniel claimed that, in self-defense, he struck Edwin hard enough to knock him unconscious. He fell and hit his head on the bathtub. Attempting to revive Edwin, Daniel doused him with water in the shower, but to no avail. Panicked and believing that he had killed Edwin, Daniel's next actions were drastic and horrific. He bought cleaning supplies, knives, and gloves, and then gruesomely dismembered Edwin's body into 14 pieces. He placed the remains in bags and attempted to dispose of them in the sea, renting a kayak to do so. The following day, he continued disposing of the body parts along various beach spots. He then attended the full moon party with two girls and then headed to the police station to report his friend's disappearance, pressured by the constant calls from Edwin's sister and his friend. Daniel's confession and CCTV footage provided compelling evidence for the police to charge him with premeditated murder, destruction of identity documents, and concealing a body. The trial was swiftly set for later that year, reflecting the Thai police's efficient handling of the case, bolstered by clear motives and straightforward evidence. However, the trial was postponed from its original date of November 13th due to the lack of a Spanish interpreter, as requested by the defense. This led to public speculation that the defense was strategically delaying the trial for more preparation time. Daniel's family hired the well-known attorney Marcos Garcia Montes, who emphasized a claim of Daniel being held as a hostage, suggesting further investigation was needed. And consequently, the trial was rescheduled for December 12. But then, the case has since taken a complex turn with recent statements from his legal team and family. They assert that Sancho never intentionally confessed to killing Edwin, contradicting the claims made by the Thai police. Sancho's legal team in Spain, led by Marcos, has raised serious concerns about the Thai police's investigation, alleging numerous irregularities. They argue that Sancho was misled into confessing to the murder and that his statement was mistranslated by Thai officers. Specifically, they claim that the police deceived Sancho with a false deportation order and mistranslated his admission of a fight and an attempt at sexual assault as a confession to intentional murder. Additionally, Sancho's lawyer contend that he acted in self-defense during a fight that escalated due to Edwin's alleged sexual assault attempt. They believe this context significantly alters the nature of the incident, potentially reducing the severity of any sentence. Sancho faces charges of premeditated murder, concealment of the body, and destruction of documents, specifically Edwin's passport. While he has admitted to concealing the body, he denies the charges of premeditated murder and document destruction. If found guilty of premeditated murder, he could face the death penalty in the trial scheduled to begin on April 9th. Garcia Montes suggested that if the case is judged fairly, considering the self-defense claim, Sancho might face a maximum sentence of 8 to 10 years and could return to Spain within 3 to 4 years. Sancho's legal team also emphasized the issue of language barriers, noting that Sancho signed documents in Thai, a language he does not understand. This point raises concerns about the validity and clarity of the legal process he has undergone. Sancho has been in pre-trial detention in Thailand since August 7th. His legal team's assertions and the upcoming trial highlight the complexity of cross-border legal cases, especially involving serious charges such as murder. The case's outcome will depend on how these allegations of irregularities and claims of self-defense are addressed in the Thai court. The trial, set for April 9th, is eagerly awaited. Daniel's family has remained mostly silent, offering only condolences to the Edwin family. Meanwhile, the Edwin family is focusing on their grieving process, allowing the Thai police to conduct their investigation. The public opinion is divided. Some view Daniel as a victim trapped in a toxic relationship, while others see him as a murderer, regardless of his circumstances. As we await the trial's outcome, opinions will continue to vary. The truth can be multifaceted, especially when only one side of the story can be heard. And that is all for today, and as always, thanks for watching.